Good morning. You know, it's really hard to stand up and say you should read my book. I think most speakers have to deal with that. But a lot of the books that I wrote, I really feel that I was led to things that were fairly important. As I was writing the book, things would be brought to me, particularly this last book, A Wonderful Deception. I was really doing an update of Deceived on Purpose, the original book about the New Age implications of the purpose-driven church. And it was getting kind of unwieldy, and it was just, I wasn't really sure what I was doing. I was going to maybe have an appendix. And I was at a conference in Southern California, and I'll go into this a little bit later, but a woman had written an article on the shack, and she had seen something in the shack that I completely missed. It was the word fractal. Anybody here that's read the shack, I imagine you might have just glanced or glossed over that the way that I did. By the time I was done with her article and with the research she had done, fractal tied in with the term as above, so below. As above, so below is a key magical saying that goes back to Hermetic teachings some 3,000 years. And it means that God is not only transcendent out there, he is immanent in each and every one of us. And of course, that is not true. That is the heart of the occult. It's the heart of the New Age. It's the bottom line of the Antichrist's new gospel. As above, so below. She tied that in with fractal, and then that tied in, fractal is tied in with quantum physics. Quantum physics basically talks about life as an energy field. And there is a lot with quantum mechanics and quantum physics that is a true statement about reality. However, what the forces that be are trying to do is they're trying to take that field and turn it into a field of dreams. And I say that very carefully. That movie, Field of Dreams, is really an introduction. I think a lot of people have seen that movie. If you build it, he will come. And then what happens? These baseball players come from the afterlife and play baseball. And it's really a precursor, I believe, for the Antichrist. And interestingly, the false Christ Maitreya, who everybody kind of snickers at, but Maitreya has been around a long time. Benjamin Krem, the John the Baptist for Maitreya, has been saying that the Christ is coming. And he started that, I think it was back in 1982. He took out full-page ads in major newspapers all around the world saying the Christ is here and he will be making his appearance. Well, people are laughing because that hasn't happened. But Krem is still speaking. When he's speaking, I'm not talking about little venues in little New Age groups. We're talking the Legion of Honor in San Francisco. We're talking the Masonic Hall in Los Angeles. He gets huge crowds, huge crowds. And what's interesting is that Benjamin Krem said that Maitreya has communicated to him that the Master Jesus, okay, the Master Jesus, not Lord and Savior, but the Master Jesus will be one of the masters of wisdom that accompany the Christ when he makes his appearance. And he said the Master Jesus will lead the Christian church that will be headquartered in Rome in their adoration and worship of the Christ. Now, what's really interesting is that Eugene Peterson in The Message refers to Jesus over and over again as the Master Jesus. Another thing that's interesting about The Message is when he paraphrases, so-called paraphrases, the Lord's Prayer, instead of saying in earth as it is in heaven, he says, as above, so below. When I saw that, I noticed that Rick Warren was using The Message as his predominant Bible. Of the 15 different Bible versions in the purpose-driven life, 15 different Bible versions, pick what you want. The Message was the predominant one, and it just invaded the first chapter of his book. It put me on immediate alert because I knew about the as above, so below. A man over in, I think it was either England or Ireland, I can't remember, sent an email when my book first came out, Deceived on Purpose, and he said, I wrote Eugene Peterson back when his book first came out. I think it was like 1993, 1994. And he said, I told him that that was a New Age saying. It's the key to all magic and to all mysteries. And I'll go into a little bit more of it when we get into it. And he said that Peterson wrote back and said, if I had known that, I wouldn't have used it. 17 years later, as above, so below is still in that paraphrase. I think what we have to look at is that the Christian church has been invaded by men who, as Jeremiah would say, are not, Jeremiah 9:3, are not valiant for the truth. I just think that's one of the most beautiful phrases in the Bible. Not valiant for the truth. Being valiant for the truth. Measuring everything by the word of God. I know that last night, all three of us as speakers probably ruffled some feathers. There were probably people here that were upset at things that we said. What I would challenge you to do is to take whatever it is that bothered you, whether it be about the shack or about Catholicism or whatever, take what we say and measure it by the Bible, not by your emotions. That's what the Bereans did. Acts 17:11, they measured everything. And Paul, you know, was glad to have that happen, as are we. If we make a mistake up here, we want to know about it. All I can tell you is that coming out of the New Age, when I read Johanna Michelson's book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, over and over again, and the Bible over and over again, I just had so much respect for the fact that God gave us his truth in the Holy Bible. And that we can count on that. Now, we can't count on a lot of the new versions that are coming out. When I saw that Rick Warren, in The Purpose-Driven Life, used a Bible that I'd never heard of before called the New Century Version Bible to cite Ephesians 4:6, what he said was, using that Bible version, he said that God rules everything, is everywhere, and is in everything. That's when my head fell. That's when I said, oh, Lord, you want me to quit my job again? You mean I have to write another book? Because I had already seen that Rick Warren had cited Bernie Siegel, a New Age leader that I was very familiar with. Bernie Siegel has a spirit guide named George. He says that George helps him in everything that he does. How did Bernie Siegel get this spirit guide? He went to a medical conference and was led in a guided visualization to contact his spirit guide. And he said, you know, thinking, I guess, of himself as being somewhat important as a doctor, he said, you know, I sort of expected to have Jesus or Moses, but I had George. And it was a guy in white robes. Okay, so this is how Rick Warren introduces hope and purpose in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. I couldn't believe it. When I did a little bit of research, I found out that Robert Shuler had referred to Bernie Siegel as one of the greatest physicians of the 20th century, and that Bernie Siegel had endorsed one of Robert Shuler's books. And Rick Warren had gone to Robert Shuler's Institute for Successful Church Leadership, which Robert Shuler said that Rick Warren attended time after time. So I went, uh-oh, this looks like Robert Shuler all over again. People kind of laugh and go, oh, Robert Shuler. Hey, guess what? He's been on TV for how many years? He's still there. I talked about this last night. He's deeply in debt because when all this was brought to the surface and a lot of people saw the connections between Robert Shuler and Rick Warren, I'll give you another one. Rick Warren calls his peace plan. Rick Warren has a peace plan for helping the world. It's interesting because the New Age has a peace plan too. It's interesting because the book of Daniel says that Antichrist, by peace, shall destroy many. He also says that the Antichrist shall destroy wonderfully. Think about that. Destroying wonderfully. What do people say about the shack? What do people say about Oprah Winfrey? What do people say about the emerging church? It's wonderful. It feels wonderful. This is playing out exactly as the Bible said it would. Was Jesus being negative when he told us these things would happen? No. He said, I've told you these things ahead of time. Why? So you won't be offended when they happen. That's where we're at, folks. This stuff is happening right before our eyes. Because I came out of the New Age, I've been watching this thing for like 26 years, and it's reaching crescendo portions right now. In football, they call it a blitz. In the circus, and I'm not saying this pejoratively or derogatorily, but you know that the clowns come out of the car and they just keep coming and coming and coming and coming. And you go, how did all those clowns fit in that car? I'm not calling these people clowns, but it's the idea that there are so many players hitting the playing field right now that you can't keep track of them all. Just as you start to corner someone like Robert Shuler and all of a sudden he's in debt. And the reason he's in debt, because Rick Warren could not defend him. If he did, he would reveal himself. So Shuler was left hanging out to dry, and that's one reason that he's $59 million in debt. They tried to retrieve his reputation in 2008 by having a Rethink conference at the Crystal Cathedral. And some of the attendees were Kay Warren, Rick Warren's wife. After Rick Warren denied his relationship with Robert Shuler, he said something like, I've only met Robert Shuler one-on-one one time in my life. You know, is he my mentor? No, never was, never would be. Statements like that through his apologist, not very convincing. When Rick Warren's doing his renunciation, seemingly, of Robert Shuler, while Bruce Wilkinson, one of Rick Warren's professed best friends in the world, is standing in the pulpit of the Crystal Cathedral saying Robert Shuler is the real leader, he's the visionary, and he said, when I walk on this campus, I feel like I'm just one step into heaven. There's a little bit of, there's a disconnect there. Do you see it? One of Rick Warren's best friends is saying that Shuler's the real leader, the visionary, while Rick Warren's trying to distance himself. We're playing politics in the church. It's become commercial. It's become something that is completely alien to what the Lord intended it to be. I want to say this very clearly. I am not impressed when Rick Warren gets on Larry King and cites John 14:6 and says that Jesus, you know, is his Savior. Why am I not impressed? Because I'm looking at all this other contrary evidence. And the Apostle Paul called those that speak out of both sides of their mouth double-tongued. Tonto on the Lone Ranger, for those who have been around as long as I have, used to call it speaking with a forked tongue. James calls it double-minded, and David talked of those that have a double heart. Right now, Leonard Sweet is being presented. He's done small group workshops with Rick Warren. He did a presentation with Rick Warren back in 1995. Rick Warren wrote the introduction to Leonard Sweet's book, Soul Tsunami. It's on the front cover, and Rick Warren's endorsement is part of the cover design. Leonard Sweet, in his book, Quantum Spirituality, at the beginning of his book, he says his role models and heroes are three people that I knew, I mean many more, from the New Age. Matthew Fox, Willis Harmon, and M. Scott Peck. Calls them great leaders. He thanks David Spangler, the father of the New Age, for helping him with his new cell theory, which relates to quantum spirituality, which relates to quantum physics, which relates to fractals, which relates to as above, so below. Are you getting the picture? Connect the dots. They want you to connect all these dots and to go, and it's exactly what it is. They're doing little vignettes, dots, and you're going down this path and you're connecting them, and they want you to have a paradigm shift where you go, whoa, God's doing an amazing work. He's bringing world peace through this new Christianity, this new spirituality that these pioneering people like Rick Warren and Dan Kimball and Leonard Sweet, these emerging figures that are bringing the true faith to the surface. Is that what Jesus said in the Bible? No. He said, the title of this conference, he said, take heed that no man deceives you, for many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. When I was in the New Age, I used to tell my friends every day and every way, things are getting better and better. Now as a Christian, I stand up and I say every day and every way, things are getting worse and worse. But that's not my opinion. That's scripture. Things will wax worse and worse as the day approaches. Antichrist is moved onto the scene. 2 Corinthians 4:4 makes it very clear that Satan is the god of this world. It's mysterious. It's just the way it is. God's sovereign, but this is Satan's world. We're not to love this world. We're to do everything we can for the people in this world. Thank God people like Johanna Michelson reached out to lost people like myself. You were all lost at one time. We're to love one another. Are we all one? That's the big thing. You are all one because we are all connected because God is in each and every one of us. Robert Shuler said that in November of 2003. From the pulpit of the Crystal Cathedral, he said, yes, God is alive and he is in every single human being. Is it any wonder that Neil Donald Walsh, huge New Age leader with a book called Conversations with God that was number one on the New York Times bookseller list for, I think, almost 2 years. Is it any wonder that Neil Donald Walsh calls Robert Shuler an extraordinary minister, commends him for his book, Self-Esteem, The New Reformation, says that it can be used as a launching pad for a new theological standard that will unite the world. We are all one. Shuler, as a speaker at the 2004 National Association of Evangelicals Conference as a key speaker, said that Self-Esteem was his best book. Self-Esteem, The New Reformation. In that book, he cites Gerald Jampolsky, the man who introduced me to A Course in Miracles. What does Rick Warren say that we need right now? We need a new reformation. He tries to tweak it away from Schuller and said it's about creeds, about deeds, not creeds. I'm not fooled. He's got the same terminology. He calls his peace plan God's dream for you and the world. Schuller's got God's dream all over self-esteem, the new reformation. It's a metaphor. God's dream is that we come out of our dream that we're sinful people and that we need a Savior, and that we recognize that God is in each and every one of us. When we connect, we light up that quantum field, and that energy can carry the world into peace. One problem. What about those people who say that they are not divine? They don't connect. What does that do to the body of oneness that is the world, that is Christ according to the New Age? Well, I'll tell you what it does. Remember that Christmas tree at the White House or at Rockefeller Center? They throw the switch, the whole tree lights up. When I was a kid, if one bulb in that tree didn't work, what did it do? It short-circuited the whole tree. Folks, that's where we're at. They actually have a name for it. Barbara Marx Hubbard, a key New Age leader. She's very political. She's tied in with Dennis Kucinich, congressman from Ohio, who submitted a bill to Congress. It's sitting before Congress right now. It has a lot of endorsements for a Peace Department cabinet level in the White House. New Age is completely behind it. The definitions of peace are all in line with A Course in Miracles and these other things. Barbara Marx Hubbard said that she heard from Christ. This is a woman who meditated on Scripture. She recited the Lord's Prayer. She recited some Scripture in Corinthians. And Christ spoke to her. But it wasn't Jesus Christ. It was a false Christ. And this false Christ said that there will come a day where a selection process will be necessary to select out those individuals who do not recognize their own divinity. And they must be driven from the face of the earth. I'm not trying to ruin your Saturday, but that was written back in 1993. We've tried to put this before Christian leaders. They don't want to hear it. It's all in place. These are not. People laugh at Shirley MacLaine running down the beach in that movie saying, "I am God, I am God." People go, "Oh, yeah, Shirley MacLaine, David Letterman." You know, she takes a hit on David Letterman. You know what? I reread the back of her book. She talks about quantum physics in the back of Out on a Limb. She's going to be hailed as one of the pioneering heroes of the New World View. Remember that phrase, New World View. That's where we're heading, the paradigm shift. The emerging church has moved onto the scene with books like The Shack to push the idea that we are all one because God is in everyone and everything. It's unbelievable, but yet the Bible describes it completely. Dan Kimball, emerging church leader, said in a book that he wrote fairly recently about the world, "They like Jesus, but not the church." Well, wait a second, Dan. Didn't Jesus say they hated me, they're going to hate you? They called me Beelzebub, they're going to call you Beelzebub too. That doesn't fit. Okay, how do we explain that? Well, the Jesus that the world likes is the peaceful Jesus of the New Age, new spirituality, who didn't die on the cross for your sins. Remember the Course in Miracles last night? The journey to the cross should be the last useless journey. A slain Christ has no meaning. Guess who hates the cross? The devil and all who unwittingly follow him, like myself. How do you think I felt when I read Jesus' words that said, many will come in my name saying, "I am Christ." And I hung my head and I went, he's warning me about me. I was that person. Coming in the name of Christ. It's the unifying. That's why I really urge you in these days, don't just say Christ anymore. Because that could be Maitreya. That could be, you know, the New Age Christ. It could be Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. I don't think you can find Lord and Savior in the message. And I'll tell you one thing, if there's anybody here that's still fascinated with the Shack, I challenge you to find the word Christ in the Shack. It's not there. He says in that book, the God, Holy Spirit, and Jesus of the shack say that evil does not exist. The God of the shack, the Jesus of the shack, says that God dwells, is the ground of all being. He dwells in and around and through all things. Maybe Galatians 5:9 had it right. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Don't be thrown by the emotionality of the shack. When I was in the New Age, I sat in encounter groups and healing groups, all sorts of groups where people had been viciously abused in their childhood. The author of the shack was, you know, abused in his childhood. It's a sad situation. But I believe that he, just as many of us that were in these groups, was taken advantage of because, and I'll give you a quick example. It's a little bit extreme, but I think it makes the point. We used to live in a canyon in Northern California. We got these baby chicks. We had six baby chicks. We put a caged wire all around it and tried to protect the chicks, and we thought we had. There was a big ruckus in the middle of the night. I didn't know a skunk could almost flatten itself out and go under the, you know, the little bit of room that was there. Five of the chicks were killed. One chick was left. Okay, we protected that cage completely. There was no way anything was going to get in. A couple nights later, or a couple mornings later, I went out, and a little baby chick was right by the edge of the caged wire with no head. And I told my wife, I said, I know what happened. That skunk came back or some other animal and said, oh, what happened? Did you lose your brothers and your sisters? Oh, man, come unto me. You know, my yoke is easy. Come and I'll give you some comfort. Wham. 1 Peter 5:8. Satan walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We were devoured in the New Age. It felt wonderful, but we were getting devoured. That's the thing that's, you know, you've got to put this stuff together because a wonderful deception. That's the name of my latest book. Okay, Jeremiah 5:30. What does Jeremiah say on behalf of the Lord? He says, a wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love to have it so. It feels so good. Spiritual experience. This is what contemplative prayer is all about. Recite scripture, and then wait to see what God would tell you. Richard Foster, on a DVD called Be Still, says that you can always tell the voice of Satan because it pushes. And it condemns, whereas the Lord always uplifts. Tell that to some of us who were in the New Age. How about the ball of light that came to me in that psychic reading? Was that pushing and condemning? No, it was titillating and fascinating. Satan comes as an angel of light, Richard Foster. Contemplative prayer. There's nothing wrong with reciting scripture, reading scripture, praying. And you know what? If God wants to impress you with something, he will. But he's not going to, like, you know, you ring a bell, read a scripture, and then, it's kind of like going to Jack in the Box. Jack will speak to you now. You know, I mean, it's not automatic that God's just going to say, oh, you want me to talk to you? Okay, I'll talk to you. But I know somebody that will and did. Most of the New Age books that are really popular originated from seducing spirits, 1 Timothy 4:1, and doctrines of devils being channeled through somebody. Neil Donald Walsh was almost suicidal. He was mad at God, and all of a sudden, God starts speaking to him, and he ends up with these dictated books that contradict everything in the Bible. Helen Schuchman, the psychologist in New York City, heard an inner voice saying, this is A Course in Miracles, please take notes. She did for 7 years, and A Course in Miracles was the result. Who was the author? She was told it was Jesus. When the Jesus of A Course in Miracles was asked, are you the Christ? You know what his answer was? Oh, yes, along with you. Along with you. That's Antichrist. That's denying that Jesus is the one and only Christ. It's slick the way they do this. But once you see through it, and once you really start to believe the scriptures, a lot of us are told that we're negative. You know, we're divisive. But you know what? Jesus, he said he didn't come to bring peace. He came to bring division. The division comes from the Word of God, rightly dividing the Word of God. It's the inspired Word of God. It saved my wife and me because it was the truth, and we had something to measure our experiences by. Don't ever doubt that God gave us everything that we need. So I want to go back to that thing about Jesus saying, they hated me, they'll hate you. Well, gee, that's really negative. Whoa, you know. Well, I'm sorry, but it's true. When we got saved, we just thought, oh, wow, we're going to go tell all our New Age friends and tell them what a deception this thing is, and people are going to get saved. You know what? They were more embarrassed for us than they were any way interested in hearing what we had to say. It was like, oh, no. That's like, you got the booby prize. You went down all those spiritual paths. You would, with Rajneesh, the Course in Miracles, you had a channeler, you did all these great things, and now you're a born-again Christian? You know, it was like, and unfortunately, as we got saved, I mean, my wife one day turned to me and she said, I don't think the Jesus of A Course in Miracles is the real Jesus. I think this is deception. And me being, you know, the bright, intelligent partner, I turned to her and I said, oh, really? I mean, it was like I still wasn't getting it, even after I'd read Johanna Michelson's book. Even after we'd been spiritually attacked and called on Jesus, I hadn't gotten the whole understanding that the Course in Miracles, which Oprah Winfrey basically has referred to as a New Age Bible, is the Bible upside down. It twists every important doctrine and turns it upside down. The New Age is not a whole lot of different things. Like, oh, that's a bad book. Oh, that's silly. Oh, that's, you know, that's woo-woo. No, they all come together and they have that bottom line message. And while they're all holding hands, a lot of Christians are still laughing and snickering about the New Age. It never left. It's just like a snake that sheds its skin. It just turned into something else while it did exactly what it was doing. The books kept coming. The teachers kept showing up on Oprah. I just read something, and it's secondhand, so I can't say that it's authoritative, but this woman purports to have interviewed members of Oprah Winfrey's family who are aghast at what she's done. It said that her own father will not show the Oprah show in his barbershop down in Mississippi or wherever it is. Why? Because they were brought up on the Bible and they know that she has been the foremost person to introduce these teachings to the world. I've talked almost like 25 minutes and I do this every time. I have all the stuff that I'm going to try to get through. But I want to make sure that you understand what I would call the big picture. I'll try this afternoon to go over some of the overlapping terms. And I want to do a few more right now. We're being told by Leonard Sweet and other Christian, self-professed Christian leaders, that there's a great awakening going on. One of the greatest awakenings that's ever gone on in the world. Well, that's completely wrong. That same word, awakening, is being used by the New Age. Eckhart Tolle was on the internet. Oprah actually came out and was with him and taught this with him on the internet. Went out to millions of people back, I think it was in 2008. Maybe it was sometime in the last year or two. And this whole idea is that you awaken, you renounce the ego, not sin, the ego, which is the false self, and you go to the true self, the higher self, the God self, the Christ self. You awaken to the divinity within. And then you realize who you really are. You're going to hear these phrases over and over again, not just from me. Who you really are. You are God. You are Christ. The only thing satanic, get this, the only thing satanic is what, according to these people? Not believing that you are God. That comes from 4 or 5 or 6 major sources that I've traced out. I've got them. This was the original Reinventing Jesus Christ, the New Gospel. It's out of print right now. It's online at reinventingjesuschrist.com. I really suggest that you read this book. The reason I say that is because I was led to leave another job a few years back to write a book about the coming false Christ. My wife and I set up shop on the outskirts of New Orleans. And 3 weeks into my research, September 11th, 2001 hit. And all of a sudden, the people that I was researching and writing about are showing up on Oprah, Good Morning America, Larry King, and they're saying, our way hasn't worked, implying the Christian way. And they weren't even Christians. But they said, our way hasn't worked. We need a new way. We need new truths. We need a new spirituality. We need to come together as one. Neil Donald Walsh actually challenged Christian pastors, clerics, rabbis to preach that from the pulpit, that we are all one. Well, you know, I think it's in Acts 17:26. It says that we're all one blood. We are. We're all one blood. We're all related. We all came from an original set of parents. I mean, isn't that true? I mean, that's pretty wild. That should give us respect for one another right there. We are to respect and love one another and to reach out in love. But we're also to recognize that we're all a little bit dangerous because we've got that old man in us, or we're sinners. So we have to be careful how we negotiate our way around in the world. But we're being told that the only thing satanic is to not believe in your own divinity. Now, I believe that we're headed into a mass movement that is going to, I don't know how it's going to happen, whether we have another major incident like September 11th or worse. Something like that. Remember, the devil's behind all this stuff. This isn't just, you know, particular groups. I mean, Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And the antidote to that is right after it, 2 Corinthians 4:5. What does Paul say? For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Wow, there's the answer right there. Satan's the god of this world, but we're not preaching ourselves. Higher self, God self, true self, Christ self. This stuff is being pounded and pounded and pounded into people's brains. I talked to somebody fairly recently, and I was just mentioning about the influence that Oprah Winfrey had, and this was in the States, and she said, I don't watch Oprah. Well, that's good, but I don't think that's really the right response. I think we want to know, 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. What's happened is that the church has become ignorant. Why? Because there's been a strange collusion amongst most of these self-professed Christian leaders to not talk about what's really going on. I've even heard some of them say, you know, evil can only happen if good men do nothing. Well, excuse me. That's what's happening. If you mention, even like Leonard Sweet has a definition of Satan as a binding energy force that ties in more with quantum, their interpretation of quantum physics, than it does with the person of Satan. We're talking about a merging church. And we're talking about pastors. I'm not going to mention names, but there's a very well-known pastor who wrote very authoritatively on the New Age back in the 90s. And he quoted Paul saying, I will not cease to warn you night and day with tears about the grievous wolves that have come in. And in this book, he talks all about the New Age. And he's going to stand fast. He thinks it's the biggest threat to the Christian worldview. And now this same man is quoting from The Message. He's referring to people in his book that are deeply embedded in the New Age. How does this happen? How do people just kind of flip? How do they implode? I don't know. But I think that in some ways, a lot of our Christian leaders, it's more of a good old boys kind of moose lodge. No offense if people are in the moose lodge, but I mean, it's more of a club. And you know, here's the Rethink conference with Robert Schuller in 2008 with Kay Warren, Charles Colson. How about Lee Strobel? He's got all these books on the case for Christ. His most recent book, The Real Jesus, gives a complete pass to the New Age. I think he does a throwaway comment about Oprah, quotes a journalist that says, well, Oprah's been involved in so many things, she doesn't know what she believes in. Oh, yes, she does. And her view is so solid and so committed that it's almost unbelievable. So Lee Strobel gets all these commendations for his books. And I'm sure that a lot of what he's written has been very good about the case for Christ. But there he is imploding when it comes to the false Christ. And let's not forget that Lee Strobel was a pastor at Rick Warren's Purpose Driven Church, and I think is still identified with Willow Creek, Bill Hybels, who's another one of Robert Schuller's disciples. Hey, do you think Robert Schuller might have had some influence on what we're looking at out there? I'd say so. And there he is. He's still preaching. $59 million in debt. Nobody none of these men really willing to just really align themselves. But that was a last-ditch attempt in 2008 to give him a little bit of credibility. And it didn't apparently work. But he could still come around the bend and later be hailed as a hero when all this stuff happens. They'll say he was one of the pioneers that did it. And Eugene Peterson, God used him to put as above, so below in the middle of the Lord's Prayer. I would ask you, do you think the Holy Spirit knows what as above, so below means? Do you think the Holy Spirit inspired Eugene Peterson to put as above, so below in the middle of the Lord's Prayer? Well, then who did? And even if he says it was just my own meandering thoughts, I would say those thoughts were very seriously influenced by the forces of darkness. What we learned coming out of the New Age was that it is indeed a spiritual battle. An anecdote that I didn't tell last night was when we went to our Course in Miracles leaders after Joy was dealing with this spiritual oppression, they gave us the pat answers. I mean, we'd explored everything. We tried to take responsibility for it. You know, we tried to see if there was anything within us that was creating this. We went up there and said, look, what do we do? He said, well, you know, let's get in a circle and let's send love and light to this individual. So we did that. We broke hands and we were ready to leave. And I turned around and I said, isn't there anything else we can do? His wife, who is the co-leader of the Course in Miracles group, said, put on the full armor of God and stand fast against the wiles of the devil. I went, what? Her husband went, honey, where did that come from? She used to be an evangelical Christian. She got burned out in church for whatever reasons. But she knew. And she said, read Ephesians 6. And we went home that night and we read Ephesians 6. And we said to ourselves, oh, she must have gone to church when she was younger. And, you know, that was really sweet of her to bring that up. Her husband, again, was aghast and was like, no, honey, you know, the Course in Miracles, there's no devil. There's no devil. There's no sin. You know, don't go back to your church stuff. What was really interesting is that I went back months later to witness to them. He wasn't there. She was. She's now deceased. She died in a Course in Miracles group. Boom, gone in a Course in Miracles group one night. A friend of mine was there. She told me that I was right, that there was a devil. She laid out the gospel. She said she knew that what happened to us was exactly what the Bible said. A couple nights later, they had a Course in Miracles group. A friend of mine who was still dabbling in all that went to the group, and she raked me through the coals, just bitterly denounced me, retracted everything that she had told me. What is that? How do people flip like that? I don't know. It's a mystery. It's obviously demonic. We're seeing men who are self-professed Christian leaders who are not valiant for the truth. Blessed are they, Luke 11:28, blessed are they who hear the word of God and what? Keep it. If ye continue in my word, Jesus said, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you continue in my word, what about the stony ground believers that receive the word with joy and gratitude, and then what? Fall away. It's really interesting because in Matthew and Mark, it talks about why did they fall away? Persecution, affliction, and tribulation, I think it was. In Luke, it's temptation. Temptation. There's that word again. Do you ever hear that? What's missing in the emerging church? There's no devil. It reminds me of a man early on when I went to see a pastor in a church as a new believer. And he walked up to the pastor and he says, yeah, we're going to give that old devil a kick in the butt. And I'm like, what is that? I mean, that's what people, we have a real adversary. There's real warfare going on. And it's claiming the minds. I mean, you're watching your friends, your neighbors, your family, co-workers falling for this stuff. We need to contend for the faith. We need to fight the good fight. There's no fight going on out there. You know, the only fight that's going on in the purpose-driven church is to try to keep some of us that are exposing them down. They unleashed a couple of apologists on us. They would not acknowledge any of our legitimate points. Now, have I said anything that's not scriptural? Am I doing anything? I don't have a problem. I'm not, you know, I don't hate Rick Warren. I don't really think about him that much. But I do think about the influence that he and others are having on people right now by not standing up for the truth. Do you see how this can play out and become exactly what Jesus said would happen, where the world goes so dark that an antichrist can move on the scene and believers will suffer? We need to remember to look up. The Lord is coming, but we better not forget the warfare that we're involved in right now. And we better not get so preoccupied with that that we don't warn our friends and neighbors. I cannot urge you enough to get Ray Youngen's book, A Time of Departing. It really shows what you need to know about contemplative prayer. And I'm telling you right now, this is about to be unleashed on the church. They've set it up. They've had videos. They've had all these teachers, Dallas Willard, you know, Richard Foster, on and on, laying the groundwork so that people will sit there in good faith, as sincere as we were in the New Age, and they will recite scripture, and one of the ones that they do is, "Be still and know that I am God," Psalm 46:10. And that's the psalm that we used to do in our Edgar Casey workshop that I went to. We entered our meditation by saying, "Be still and know that I am God." It's what I call a crossover term. As soon as I saw that Ken Blanchard with his lead like, Ken Blanchard has a Lead Like Jesus organization. He was introduced by Rick Warren when Rick Warren was introducing his peace plan. And at the time Rick Warren introduced him, Ken Blanchard's endorsement was on Deepak Chopra's book, a whole number of New Age books. I was recently at Yosemite National Park, and it was a New Age book, and it had Ken Blanchard's endorsement on it. Well, he got cornered on all that, and his response was, "Oh, you know, I didn't know that." So Watchman Fellowship, a supposed discernment ministry, examines him and goes, "Well, we've examined Ken, and you know, we think he's a good brother, and he's going to move forward with his Lead Like Jesus organization." Lead like which Jesus? Where's he taking everybody? What Jesus? Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior? Well, he might say so, but even after the warnings, even after Watchman Fellowship was going to follow him, and by the way, Rick Warren did a Lead Like Jesus conference with Ken Blanchard shortly after Rick Warren introduced his peace plan. And Ken Blanchard started off his talk by saying that he got saved back in 1987, 88. When Rick Warren was brought this information about Blanchard, he said, "Well, Ken's a new believer." A new believer? He was sitting right next to him when he said he was saved in 1980. How did Ken Blanchard get saved? One of the people responsible was Norman Vincent Peale. Did you know that in Norman Vincent Peale's book, The Power of Positive Thinking, he said that God is in you? I've actually been in touch with a man who was a minister with Norman Vincent Peale in New York City, and he wrote an article that I've got in my new book, A Wonderful Deception, where it shows that Norman Vincent Peale basically pulled material from New Age writer Florence Scovel Shinn. Norman Vincent Peale endorsed Ernest Holmes' Science of Mind. That's another New Age Bible. Norman Vincent Peale is Robert Schuller's mentor. I met a woman who was running a bookstore who was a New Age minister who said she went to one of Robert Schuller's Institutes for Successful Church Leadership back in the 70s so she could learn how her church could grow. Does that make any sense? She said that when she told Schuller that, he pulled Ernest Holmes' book out of his bottom desk drawer. Robert Schuller. I remember when I was... I'm going to successfully do this. I'm going to avoid all this material, and I do it every time. And when I do those interjections, I forget what I was going to say. Oh, I know what it was. I was writing The Light That Was Dark, and we were down in Bonita Springs, Florida. I was sort of traveling around in a camper. I had resigned another job. I think I've resigned about seven jobs to do some of these things. And we were attending this little fellowship, and I loved it. We were singing hymns. The pastor was right on. He was reading right out of the Bible. And then he says, one Sunday, he says, "I won't be here next week. We're going to have a guest. I'm going out to California." So when we were going out the receiving line, I said, "Oh, you're going out to California. What are you going to do out there?" He says, "I'm going to a workshop out there." I said, "Oh, what workshop are you going to?" He said, "I'm going to a workshop with Robert Schuller at the Crystal Cathedral." And I said, Why would you want to do that? Well, he wanted to do that so his church would grow. All this stuff happened because people were trying to... Here's another story that I think creates a fuller picture of what's going on with pastors today. Almost a brand new believer, I was in Redondo Beach, California. I was in a Christian bookstore, and it was getting towards closing time, and a man in probably his mid-50s came in to pick up his wife who was working at the bookstore. We started talking, and we found out that we had both lived in the same town in Northern California. I said, "What did you do up there?" He said, "I was the pastor of the Nazarene Church." I said, "Oh, wow." I said, "Where are you pastoring down here?" He says, "I'm not." I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm working in a factory." I said, "You're working in a factory?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Can you explain that?" He goes, "Well," he says, "they didn't want to hear the truth in the church that I was preaching. I was getting a lot of pressure from the elder board. And so I'm in the factory." And I said, "How's that going?" He says, "We've got one heck of a Bible study." I think you're going to find that a lot of people that have been pushed out of the purpose-driven churches. Jesus said, "Behold, I've told you these things ahead of time so you won't be offended. Gather together with like-minded people, read the Bible." I think we're in the underground church already, people. I think we're there and probably have been there for some time. It's called the remnant. But we're not to sit around idly saying, "Ain't it awful?" We're to look for opportunities to talk about these things creatively. Jesus asked good questions. When they tried to corner him, "Well, is John the Baptist from heaven or from down here?" And they all walk away. We can do the same thing when somebody says, "I really love this shack and I wish you'd stop putting it down." You go, "Well, wait a second, let me ask you a question. Why is creation spelled with a capital C over 20 times in the shack?" And I don't know. That's what the New Age does when they are showing that God is in everything. Did you know that the Jesus of the shack said that God is the ground of all being? That's a New Age phrase. The ground of all being. That's the energy field. Is the ground of all being the shifting sand that the house collapses on? Was God in the golden calf so people bowed down to the golden calf were mistaken? Is God in the devil? I actually had a guy call up on the phone one time when I was talking about Rick Warren citing that passage that God's in everything. And he said, "You know, I wish you'd stop beating up on Rick Warren." I said, "I'm not beating up on Rick Warren. I'm calling into question why he would say that the Bible says that God's in everything." The Apostle Paul in that passage in Ephesians 4:6 was talking to the faithful in Christ Jesus and to those believers that he was with. And you cannot extrapolate that and turn it into, you know, they do the same thing in the New Age with the passage in Corinthians where, you know, we're the body of Christ. They try to make that into the world. It's very, very slick what's going on, but it's also very obvious when you really believe the scriptures. I've seen pastors move right through 1 Timothy 4:1, and it's almost like a footnote to whatever it was they were saying that day. And obviously, with our background, wait a minute, seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, the foundation of the Antichrist, new gospel, new spirituality. Okay, I'm going to do something here. Dr. Harry Ironside, a godly pastor at the Moody Memorial Church, he did a tremendous ministry in his lifetime. He wrote an article, and it was entitled, "Exposing Error, Is It Worthwhile?" Are we to do this, or are we just being negative? Are we being divisive? Are we? It says, you know, basically in Romans, that mark those who cause division, not according to doctrine. You know, we're not being divisive if we point out that Scripture says something. If the book, The Secret, if Oprah endorses that book, sends it under the bestseller list as she has done with so many books. And at the beginning of that book, the author says that she wants to give credit to Abraham for his inspiration, for Abraham's inspiration. You have to know that Abraham is a collective entity, an out-of-body spiritual entity that was channeled through Esther Hicks, who wrote the book, The Law of Attraction, who is cited as a main source for The Secret. And in The Secret, it says, "You are God in a physical body." Guess what's on the first page of The Secret? As above, so below. we're going to talk this afternoon about how this is pretty much a done deal. Unless something really miraculous happens where we have Christian leaders who stand up and start, I mean, ones that have platforms that people listen to. I've watched as pastors will go, and one pastor in particular, where he's sort of seemingly opposing what Rick Warren and the purpose-driven movement's doing, and then starts to bend back the other way. And I watch the people that are in his congregation kind of going like this. They kind of, what is that good, Pastor? Or, you know, I remember a woman in a Christian bookstore asking the man in the Christian bookstore, Jim, is this one okay? Hey, we cannot rely, no matter how good your pastor is, no matter what anybody says to you, you have to measure everything, including what I'm saying, by the Word of God. You better make sure you have the Word of God and not one of these new translations. Really, I mean, some of these new translations, you never even heard the titles before. And the message, you know, is just, I think his translation of 1 Timothy 4:1 is, don't go chasing after demonic illusions. Illusions? How about seducing spirits? Or how about the message when he says, for Matthew 24:3-5, he says, instead of take heed that no man deceives you, many come my name, he says, watch out for doomsday deceivers. Who's that? That's me. That's us. You know, watch out for doomsday deceivers. What did Daniel tell us? He's going to be a doomsday deceiver, the Antichrist? No, by peace he shall destroy many. We're looking at a world peace movement. We're looking at a devil who's trying to put legislation so we'll have a cabinet-level peace department. They actually had in the original legislation back, I think, in 2001, and it's been introduced every couple of years all the way up through this year. And I think over half of Congress has endorsed it. I mean, it's really moving along fast. I wouldn't be surprised if the president stamps it and it goes into effect. They actually had a passage in there where they talked about human potential. And I had just read where New Age leader Neil Donald Walsh had talked about, he was saying, it's really amazing how Wayne Dyer can take human potential, that phrase, and bring in all of his New Age, new spirituality teachings, and people don't know what they're doing. And I cited that in an update that I did on reinventing Jesus Christ. That's not in the new legislation. See, what happens is, a lot of times the enemy is more aware of what some of us are writing and doing than believers are. So they tweak it, and then by the time you go to look at the website that one of us has cited, it's a broken link. I mean, this is warfare. Got to fight the good fight. Exposing error, is it worthwhile? Harry Ironside. Objection is often raised, even by some sound in the faith, regarding the exposure of error as being entirely negative and of no real edification. Of late, the hue and cry has been against any and all negative teaching. But the brethren who assume this attitude forget that a large part of the New Testament, both of the teaching of our blessed Lord himself and the writings of the apostles, is made up of this very character of ministry, namely, showing the satanic origin and therefore the unsettling results of the propagation of erroneous systems, which Peter, in his second epistle, so definitely referred to as damnable heresies. Our Lord prophesied, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Within our own day, how many false prophets have risen, and oh, how many are the deceived? This is back a few years. What would he say today? Paul predicted, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch. My own observation is that these grievous wolves, alone and in packs, are not sparing even the most favored flocks. Under shepherds in these perilous times will do well to note the apostles' warning. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. It's important in these days, as in Paul's, in fact, it is increasingly important to expose the many types of false teaching that on every hand abound more and more. We are called upon to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints while we hold the truth in love. The faith means the whole body of revealed truth, and to contend for all of God's truth necessitates some negative teaching. Paul likewise admonishes us to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather to reprove them, expose them, Ephesians 5:11. Now this is really significant right here when you're dealing with people that are clinging to the shack. He says, there is constant temptation to compromise. Let's go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. It's always right to stand firmly for what God has revealed concerning his blessed son's person and work. The father of lies deals in half-truths and specializes in most subtle fallacies regarding the Lord Jesus, our sole and sufficient Savior. Error is like leaven, of which we read, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. truth mixed with error is equivalent to all error, except that it's more innocent looking and therefore more dangerous. God hates such a mixture. Any error or any truth and error mixture calls for definite exposure and repudiation. To condone such is to be unfaithful to God and his word and treacherous to imperiled souls for whom Christ died. Amen. Wouldn't it be nice to have Harry Ironside back in Moody Memorial Church speaking those words on Moody radio and going out to people? The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5, he said that we're to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. He also said, it's a shame we have to talk about these things. But did he say we shouldn't? No, he said we should. Why? Because they need to be brought to the light and exposed. And that's my challenge to you. I know there's some people in this group right here that buy books in bulk, and they go to places like flea markets and they pass them out. My wife and I, we were brand new believers. We bought cases of these books that expose stuff. We would pass them out. We actually had one pastor who read the book really quickly and preached on it the next week. And then the next week, after probably talking to a bunch of other pastors, pretty much renounced what he said the week before. But you want to have books like Ray Youngen's book, A Time of Departing, Roger Oakland's book, Faith Undone. I wrote The Light That Was Dark so it could be given to New Agers or people that are lost in the New Age. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians just forget. We get so caught up in our own lives, we forget. And we are aware of the relatives and the coworkers and others that are lost, but we don't do anything about it. Well, Oprah's father doesn't turn on TV. That's a statement to everyone coming into his barbershop. Pray for Oprah. Pray for Rick Warren. I have no reason to doubt that he thinks what he's doing is right. I think we do have some grievous wolves. I think Robert Shuler is one of them. I think he knows what he's doing. He's putting Gerald Jampolsky up there. He's, you know, pulling Science of Mind out of his bottom desk drawer. I have more respect for people in the New Age that honestly believe what they believe than people who are trying to transition the church by using double talk and double tongued to bring them into a quantum understanding that it's all one big energy field and that God is in every atom, and that means that God is in everything. And we'll talk more about that this afternoon. Thank you very much.